So, in yesterday's meeting, we learned all about the events of the Great Flood that transformed planet Earth into a place of absolute desolation. Everything was destroyed, and Noah seeks some information by sending birds, and the birds or messengers come back, and eventually Noah gets the postcard. It's the olive branch that tells him that it's time to disembark. So you'd think Noah would just disembark. Right? He found out that it's safe to leave the ark. Chapter 8, verse 15. The fourth reading begins with a divine command. Vayidaber Elikim el Noach. The Lord speaks to Noach, Lemur, and this is what he says. Now, Lemur usually means you should tell somebody else. One of the most common verses in the Torah is Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemur. God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should tell the Jewish people what I just said. Who is Noach going to tell? He's got no congregation to preach to. In fact, there's nobody left. Everybody's dead. So the Psikta Zutrisa says, Lemer, he should tell this to his children, to his wife, and to his daughters-in-law. The Chizkuni says, let's not get excited about this. This is just the way scriptural parlance plays itself out. It just means God spoke, saying as such. So what was the big saying? This is like a big command, a divine command. Tzei min ha-teip. Go out of the ark, disembark. Ata, v'ishtecha uvanecha. You and your wife and your children, v'neshe v'necha and their wives, itoch, together with you. So the question is, why is there a divine decree? Why is there a command that says, tzei min ha-teva, go out of the ark? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Noach was told to go into the ark. He only knew how to follow instructions. He took no initiative whatsoever. So when he was told to go into the ark, he did so by divine design. He was decreed, it was decreed upon him, go, so he went. And now Noach feels still under the sway of that command. Since God told him to go into the ark, he feels he cannot leave the ark save by divine design. He's got to get a decree, he's got to get a command, because this is his mitzvah. Now, there is, of course, significant reason to accept the words of Rabbeinu Bechaya, besides the fact that it's Rabbeinu Bechaya. There is logic to it that Noach was a person who was very dutiful and he followed instructions. What's not understood is in Pshuta Shel Mikra, on a literal, a straightforward level, why would he need a command for this? We understand why he needed a command to go onto the ark. It wasn't raining yet. It was a sunny day. It was 7 days before. And there was no hint that was going to be any kind of massive glacial change. And yet, here, it's almost like, yeah, self-understood, sure, Noach got a command, say min ha-teva. Why wasn't he running out of the ark? This is a question that we'll deal with in a moment. Another interesting thing to note is that when Noach is told, say min ha-teva, he has to be told, ata you, and he has to v'ishtecha, and your wife. Uvanecha. So what, if God would tell Noach to go, then Noach would think only he should go, but everybody else should stay in the teva? His wife should stay in the teva? Or if Noach and his wife, he say, hey kids, you have to remain in this ark. Have a nice life. We're out of here. But like, really, what would happen if it would just say, tzei min ha-teva, go out of the ark. And it wouldn't say, ata v'ishtecha uvanecha v'neshev v'necha itach. Six superfluous words, making a nine-word verse where it simply could have been a three-word verse, tzei min ha-teva. Or it could have said, atem tzei min ha-teva. All of ye go out of the ark. But it doesn't say that. It says the same in Ephesus. So Rashi actually is concerned with this. He says, what is this business of Ata v'ishtecha? He says, you know that when it came to the mitzvah to go onto the teva, to get into the ark, to board the boat, there it said Ata v'ishtecha also. But earlier Rashi told us that the reason that earlier it said it a little bit differently. If you take a look back in verse 6, in chapter 6, pardon me, verse 18, you'll notice that when Noah got the command to go onto the Teva, it says, Uvasa ala Teva ata, you, uvanecha, and your children, ve'ishtecha, and your wife, unishevanecha, and your wives, your children's, your son's wives, itach, with you. And here we have a change in parlance. Verse in 18 of chapter 6, this you, your boys, your wife, your daughters-in-law. Here it says, you and your wife, your sons and their wives. Something changed here. So Rashi says this is most revealing. And this is to indicate, ish ve'ishtei kan. Here, man and wife are mentioned. And this is in order to tell you that as they left the Teva, hiter lahem tashmish hamita. Now intimacy was once again permitted. If you may remember, we said when they got on the ark, there was no intimacy. So there was no intimate conduct. They lived in a dormitory style. But now, leaving the ark, God is telling them, you will leave, and you're going to leave together as a couple. The Torah goes further on to say, not only you and your family, meaning you, your wife, your children, and their wives should leave, but furthermore, kol achaya, all the animals, asher itach, all the living things, mikol basa, from all flesh, ba'oif uba behema, be they winged creatures or animals, uvachol harem es harei mes al haaretz, and all of the things that creep on the ground, hayitzei itach, take out with you, take them out, v'shartz uvaretz, and let them swarm on the earth, ufru uravu al haaretz, and let them be fruitful and multiply. So Rashi says, hayitzei, it's spelled with a vav, hoitzei. Hoitzei ksiv. But hayitzei kri, it's read, take them out, force them out. Hayitzei means that you must do something to make them leave. Make them leave. Emor lehem sheyetzu, tell them, it's time to leave the ark. Hayitzei means, im einam reitzim latzes, if they don't want to leave. Hayitzeim ata, you make them leave. They don't want to leave, make them leave.
They would understand if we tell them?
Well, I guess people can speak to their pets all the time. Oh. They tell the horse when to go. They tell the mule when to stop. People get the ox to plow the field. People talk to their pets all the time. You can communicate with animals. Not sophisticated communication, but you could shoo them out. Tell them, time to go. So there's lots of things that we need to look into a little more deeply over here.
The animals came of their own understanding.
The animals came primarily of their own volition. Yet here, they needed to be driven out. Very good point. And interestingly, some of the animals it says Noach was supposed to bring on, and if you remember, we talked about this. We said when the animals Noach was going to bring an offering from, which is part of Avodat Hashem, he needed to do something. He needed to bring them. But the animals were there merely for the purpose of survival of the species. They came by themselves. Okay, so let's take a look. We're going to learn quickly two very interesting things, insights from the Rebbe. Page Kuf Lamed Beis in the Burim book. The Rebbe says, ask the obvious question, Yesh lo Tmaya. This makes us really wonder. Madua chikar Noach letzivui? Why did Noach wait for a command? Wait for a command. He had a clear and explicit command, a decree, that he must leave the ark. Why wouldn't he go out by himself? He wasn't told to send the bird. Why did he send the raven and then the dove? Because he wanted to know, can we get out of here? And now he finds out, yes, you can get out of here. So what does he do? He sits on his hands and he waits for a divine decree. He didn't get told to send the raven. He was never instructed to send the dove. Why did he do that for? Why didn't he just wait and see what God says? And if you want to follow Rabbeinu Bechaya's approach and say, you know what? Noach was a man of obedience. He followed God's will, didn't take much initiative, and that was a problem. But if God told him to do something, then he would do exactly what he was told. He was told to get onto the ark, board the boat. That's it. God told him. I'll leave when God tells me not to. Okay, fine. Even if you say that Noach feels he needed a command, what did the animals need a command for? And not only the animals needed a command to be permitted, the animals had to be driven off the ark. Noah's job is to drive them off the ark. Like, why would that have to happen? The last time I checked, if you open the cages at the zoo, all the animals go running out. If you would open the ark, they should all have run out. So the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. The Yeshleimar, the answer may be like this. Matsinu, we find Shebetevas Noyach Hiskaye Matsev Doimilazer Sheyehela Osid Lovi. On the ark, it was like the Mashiach came. It was a futuristic reality. They were experiencing the future in the present, in real time. This is how Radak explains it, and others explain it. There was a situation of a Garza Avim Kevis, the wolf and the lamb were lying and playing together. They weren't bothering each other. It says, when Mashiach will come, layareu, v'layashchisu, there'll be no more destruction. They will not be animals of prey. Al-af shekol ha-behemes v'chayis ha'i v'yachad. This, despite the fact that they were really in cramped quarters, on each other's heads, quite literally. Imzais li'asura zelazah. They didn't do anything to each other. In yesterday's reading, we hear about Noach getting beat up, but that's it. And that was just once. And he had a reason. The lion was angry. His lunch came late. But otherwise, the lion didn't eat the zebra. Why not? Nowhere does it say that Noach should build cages. Nowhere does it say he have locks. This is compartments. So we can see that something happened. They didn't do anything to each other. There was no violence, which is actually benigud l'tivam, which is totally antithetical to their nature. Lachain leiratza neach latzis minateva batzmei. Neach did not want to disturb the peace. He's on this ark. He's got a year's worth of garbage, of thousands of animals, and a dozen people. It stinks to the high heavens. It couldn't have been a pleasant place to be. Noach doesn't want to leave. Who wants to be the one to, so to speak, open Pandora's box again? Who wants to be the one to cause the world to become a violent place the way it used to be? Noach sat, afraid to move. He needed a special command. He wouldn't leave till God said, Noach, you need to go out, disembark. And by divine design, when he got a decree to disembark, that's when Noach is ready to go. Imagine the animals themselves. Animals have intelligence. They knew Shetiva Nishtana. The lion knew that his nature had changed. He wasn't craving the zebra or the lamb. The wolf was not biting anybody. They knew that somehow they became kinder and nicer. They wouldn't go out of the boat. So what should we don't want to go off the ark? The moment we go off the ark, we become a vildachaya, a wild animal all over again. We don't want to be a wild animal. They're going to be lachzalias, chayas, turfis. They become animals of prey. That's why they too needed a special mitzvah, a special command. The people needed a command, and the animals needed a command. Now there's emphasis immediately on the first thing that Noach is being told to go off the ark is Atav Ishtecha, in sharp contrast to the way they came onto the ark, where they boarded the ark by saying Ata Uvanecha, you and your sons. It's the guy's dormitory and the girl's dormitory. Here it's Ata V'Ishtecha, you and your wife. Vanecha, your sons and their wives. So Rashi says, ah, yes, that's because intimacy became permitted again. And this is fascinating because, as the Rebbe notes here in the separate entry, Hadavar Harishon Shehida HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Noach, the very first thing that Noach was told to do, first thing he's told to disembark. But in the disembarkment, in that decree, there was also a message, because he was told to disembark specifically Atav Ishtecha, you and your wife. In other words, the first message to Noach was, disembark and be fruitful and multiply. Bring more children into the world. And we see it in the next pasuk, in the next verse as well. The animals should disembark and b'shir tzubaretz. They should swarm in the earth. Pru revu. They should increase. Asibel of kach. The reason for this, the Rebbe suggested, is abundantly obvious. Kisrach HaShal Mabul. This is literally in the aftermath on the heels of mass destruction, of genocidal tidal waves that literally changed the face of earth forever. Mocha Eskol HaYukum. It destroyed everything. Okay, now that everything is destroyed, what's the first responsibility we have? The first responsibility is to rebuild. And how do you rebuild? First and foremost, bring people into the world. Bring children. And the Rebbe says this is a very important lesson in our generation. The Dor She'Avar Afu Es HaMabul, our generation, or at least our parents' generation, experienced the Great Flood. The equivalent of the Great Flood that Rebbe maintained was the Holocaust. That's how the Rebbe used to refer to the Holocaust. Rachmana Litzlan, heaven forfend. Shabay Nimcha Chela Gadol Ma'am Yisrael, an enormous amount, enormous volume of our people were simply destroyed, incinerated. L'cholorish, first and foremost, Motelas al Elu Shezachol, those who survived, B'chas Teshem, the Rebbe speaking to survivors here. You manage to survive, and then we are the children, even the grandchildren of survivors. Haschus v'achrayas, the privilege and the responsibility is for us to marry and build families. That's our first responsibility. Only after the nation is rebuilt, then we can worry about the spiritual welfare. So first and foremost, God didn't tell Noach influence everybody for the positive. He said, get out there and make people. Some people think that the 614th mitzvah is not to grant Hitler a posthumous victory. How so? By building museums and by ensuring Holocaust education. But I would tell you, based on what the Rebbe says here, that yes, indeed, we have a responsibility to respond to what happened, first and foremost, by building families, by marrying and having children. And those who are past their childbearing years can do everything possible to help their children have children. Mm-hmm. Be there to babysit. Assist in any way you can. And every single yid that we bring into the world is one step closer to Mashiach. May that come speedily and in our days. Amen.
Amen. Amen.